Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August the 24th, 2020, and I now call to order the Fairburn City Council. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carr Hurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Councilman Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to continue.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. We will now have invocation by Councilman Alex Heath.
Everyone, if we will, bow their heads, please. Father, we come to you at this time in our history, and we pray, dear Lord, for a healing of our country, of all the strife and everything that has taken place, the COVID-19 virus that is here. Dear God, we just pray in your holy name that they would be healed. It does say in the scripture that if my people that are called by my name will fall down and worship me, I will heal their land. Father, we just thank you right now that would be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of this city council minutes for August the 10th. All council members, you should have received these minutes in your council packet for this week. Is there a motion on the floor to adopt the minutes of August 10th, 2020?
So moved, Mayor. Councilman Heath.
Second, Mayor Pro Tem
Smallwood. Second, Councilman Whitmore.
A motion has been made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes. In the first sentence, I ask that you precede a federal policy council with Georgia Municipal Association because it is a subcommittee under GMA. I also ask that the minutes reflect my request that expenses to date of COVID-19 were to be included in a letter to Senators Perdue and Loeffler, and that the mayor stated that she would provide that the data and the letter to each council member to submit to the senators. She also stated that she would give me a call. To date, I have not received a call, a text message, email, or the said letter that was promised. Secondly, the minutes relative to the conversation with Councilman Whitmore regarding an email that he received from Safeguard, where he stated that Safeguard alleged some erroneous things in the email and that he committed to share that email with mayor and council. And to date, I have not received that email. Thank you.
Councilwoman Portis Jones, are you making additions, corrections to the minutes, or are you making statements?
Those were all statements that were said at the meeting of August 10th, and I am asking that those be included in the written minutes. They are in the recorded minutes. I'm just asking that they be made in the written minutes.
Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay.
Press start to unmute.
I'm sorry. Madam Clerk, she's asking that her comments are included in these minutes of August the 10th.
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. Your comments are so noted. We have a motion on the floor and a second. With those changes, are those corrections, are those additions being added to the minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes are approved 6-0.
With corrections.
Okay. With the corrections. Thank you. Was that Councilwoman Davis?
You're welcome, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda is going to be the adoption of the City Council agenda for tonight. The first item is a discussion. Well, actually, we have two discussions tonight. One is Dock and Park, and the other one is the Dog Park update. Both of these discussions will be led by our Parks and Recreation Director, who's Mr. John Colbert. The second agenda item is from the Police Department, and I'm going to ask that this item, which is for Mayor and Council to approve the updated ordinance regulating court services, is tabled for the next 90 days in order to give our city attorney and also our judge time to meet on this particular subject. And so I'll come back to that particular item. The next item on the agenda is from Planning and Zoning, Tarika Peaks, for Mayor and Council to approve the executive execution of the subgrant agreement with Atlanta Regional Commission for the Livable Community Initiative, Fairman Downtown Master Plan, in the amount of $25,000. And the last two items on the agenda tonight is under Community Development, Mr. Lester Thompson. The first one is for Mayor and Council to approve the Malone Street curb and gutter installation and project contract award in the amount of $41,800. And the last agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve the change order for the Howell Avenue Extension Project in the amount of $5,850. With that being said, I would like to ask the council table item number one is under the Police Department for 90 days for additional discussion with Judge Ewing and our Attorney Turner and other staff.
Yes. Comment?
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, Mayor. Thank you so much for doing that, because I had some concerns in reference to this, and that was actually going to be my suggestion, that is postponed or tabled. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. May I have a motion on the floor? We'll just start with the tabling of item number one. Is there a motion to table item number one for the next 90 days for Mayor and Council to approve the updated ordinance regulating court services? So let me get a motion on the floor to table this for the next 90 days and a second, please.
So moved. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Item number one will be tabled for the next 90 days. Item number two, item number three, and item number four. May I have a motion on the floor to approve these agenda items for tonight?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, motion made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Our agenda tonight, we'll start with item number six, which is a discussion. Duncan Park, Mr. John Covert, are you on the line, please?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mayor and Council. I just would like to make a few opening statements regarding the closing of Duncan Park. Duncan Park, as we all know, was closed due to the COVID-19 virus issue. And we have been keeping track of those issues as it relates to the closing of the park. Two things that I would like to present. I would like to present a plan A. The plan A will say keep Duncan Park closed based upon the spiking of the virus on a profile that we put in your package that has Fairburn at a high level. I have on August the 19th, 360 count. And then I have another one on August the 21st, the count was 369. That's those are day rates of the COVID diagnosis. And the reason we would like to probably keep the park where it is at this point at this time is because we want to be in line with the other parks in the city of South Fulton. If I look at the parks in the city of South Fulton, Union City Parks and gyms are closed. South Fulton parks and pools are closed. Hakeville gyms parks are closed with the exception of a weight room and a pickleball by appointment only. If we look at a broader area, city of Atlanta, no large gathering, no teams, recreation centers are closed, indoor pools are open only by appointment for lap swimming only. Palmetto Parks, ball fields closed, and some of the Union City parks are closed. The only other open parks, Fayette County have their parks open. Reservations are available for people, up to 50 people. Peachtree City gyms are open, their pool is open, all their playgrounds are open, but the splash pads are closed. But that's just a quick profile of the parks and how they are closed in the area and what's open. And if we open our park, we're gonna get the people from the other parks in the region who where they are closed. Duncan will be inundated, I think, with numbers as it was when we first closed the park down. That's my plan A. Plan B would be to have a opening of the park only for walking only. But one of the things and some of the challenges we have with that, and I'll have Mr. Harvey Stokes speak to some of that, restroom sanitizing, distant monitoring, and there's no way we can prohibit non-walkers or participants from entering the park once we open the park and take the barricades down. Duncan Park has over 500 parking spaces. Some people might say, I don't want to exercise, I just want to drive my car in the park and sit and look at the lake, for example. But those are my suggestions tonight, and I'll entertain any questions that the mayor and council members may have or suggestions. Thank you.
Okay, council members, the floor is open for discussion on Duncan Park. He's given us option A and option B. The floor is open for discussion.
This is Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. I'll just say that I'm in agreement with the option A that he presented, presenting all the data and, you know, well, looking at all the data, I'm with option A. Just want to make that comment.
Thank Councilman you, sir. Whitmore. This is Councilman Whitmore, and I concur with my colleague, Mayor Pro Tem.
Is there any other council members who would like to have a discussion on Duncan Park option A and option B?
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to, I think Director Colbert said that Director Stokes is going to speak about the bathrooms. I would like to hear that first before I make comments on Plan B.
Mr. Stokes, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Mayor.
Okay.
The problem with the restroom, if we do go with option B, would be to make sure they're sanitized. As I said before, we do not have the staffing to take on that responsibility, to make sure that those restrooms are sanitized once they've been used.
I'm sorry, you said we do have?
We do not. Okay. Do not, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Well, then I will go with option A with my colleagues.
Are there any other council members who have any other comments concerning Dockin Park? Okay. This is just for discussion tonight, so council does not have to vote on it. I see that Randy Turner just showed up. Our attorney is with us tonight. Welcome, Randy. So there are no other comments concerning the Dockin Park and the reopening with option A or option B.
Mayor, I do have a question in reference to the listing that Director Culbreth has down here in reference to what's closed and what's opened. And he has the youth center closed until schools open. Well, schools are open. Does that mean that the youth center is open or what?
The youth center is open for staff. We have not officially and formally, that was going to be a recommended suggestion that if the schools open and we have participants coming in after school program, for example, we would have the youth center open. But at the current time, presently, I don't believe it's there's a program in place at this time. That's when I said schools were open, I was talking about the youth at the mental fitness program. That's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
If I may.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If I may add, the after school program is a virtual after school program. So no kids will be coming into the youth center under the STEAM program.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Does that answer your question, Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, it does. And I also want to say to Director Culbreth that I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea that we use Avery Park for the seniors as a walking station. I just wanted to know, will there be specific times for that to start or to end? And will we have to utilize any type of police monitoring or anything like that?
For Avery Park?
Yes.
If we're talking about Avery Park, I think we're speaking mainly about the residents of the manor. We have been engaging with the residents of the manor on behalf of the mayor and council with a food feeding program. But the manor itself is on a somewhat semi-lockdown of its participants where no one can enter the building out from the outside. The park is open for them to use on their own, but we have not formalized a recreation fitness program with them. That's one of my goals, to work with them on these feeding programs. And then once the pandemic issues begin to lift, we will automatically channel them into organized recreational programs for fitness.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Councilman.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Culbreth. And Mr. Stokes. Okay, Randy, you want to say hello?
Hello, I just got hooked in, finally.
Yes.
Hello.
It's been quite a day.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now we'll also have an update. So the park will remain, we're not voting on this tonight, just having a general discussion. So Dockin Park will remain closed, and that also includes walking in the park.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Next, let's have the dog park update.
On the dog park update, Mayor and Council, we instituted a survey on the City of Fairburn's website. We got back a total of, I believe, about 85 surveys and the various comments that they made on whether they had a dog or not, and where they participated in walking their dogs. And that survey gave us some data. But one of the things I would like to speak to regarding the dog park tonight on is the fact that dog parks are closed as well because of COVID-19 impact. They are closed as well. And I have given deep and serious thought to the dog park, and I'm running into some issues in my mind in terms of where we can implement the dog park in an adequate manner. One of the things, earlier suggestion was Duncan Park. Right now, in my mind and in my professional analysis, I think what we need for Duncan Park at this point is sort of an update on the master plan. I don't want to go and put a dog park in Duncan Park, and we have not really looked at the entire picture of the park for the future, because we've got to look at the park in its entirety. So I think, and another idea I have, and I have broached this idea with the donor who has donated funds for the dog park, is that we work with them on finding a private piece of land possibly, and put an institute of private management and oversight, a nonprofit of some type, that will help manage the dog park. And that way we won't have the budgetary impact on the City of Fairburn financial resources. Because one thing that has to be thought through, and I'll bring Mr. Harvey in again, is the fact that this is an ongoing maintenance requirement that's gonna, if the dog park is implemented within the city's park system, it's gonna have an impact on our budget. The cost for implementation still need to be worked out once the location is found, and also the ongoing maintenance costs. So at this time, what I'd like to recommend, is on a recommendation, is that the dog park be put on hold for the time being, and that we look at doing some real good planning over the next year or two in terms of how and where this dog park can be placed within the city's system.
Okay, Mrs. Stokes, did you have anything to add to the comments by Mr.
Colbert? No, I support what Mr. Colbert is saying. There are some serious things that need to be taken in consideration, the location, even down to the guidelines themselves. We need to make sure that each one of these dogs that enter this park are up to date, vaccinated to protect the public and the whole nine yards. I agree with Mr. Colbert.
Okay. Council members, the floor is open for general discussion on the dog park. Do we have any comments from council members?
Yes, this is Councilman Whitmore.
Yes.
So I like the idea of a master plan. Number one, we have potentially two things that we're looking at in the near future or far future for the park. Number one is that access road coming off of Rayland B. Smith. And the other is the community center that we have talked about, but COVID-19 has even slowed down the drawings for that. So I think it is important to know exactly where things are gonna be going within in the park before we make that decision. But I also like the other idea that the director had about finding a private lot and moving forward with those advances as well.
Thank you, Councilman.
Mayor, Councilman Heath, Miss Mullis that brought this to us, she is has a medical condition that I think really wait a year or two, that may not be good for her. I think that she would like to see some type of something. I mean, we could always move a dog park if that was a problem to another property. But for right now, with the monies that she is paying I would like to see something done before a year, to be honest with you. Simply because of the condition that she has. So I would be more inclined, and I do know that you've got to, you know, have a plan in place and stuff like that. But like I say, I heard him say up to 2 years. Well, I mean, 2 years is a long time. A lot of things can happen, as we have seen with our interchange at I-85 and 74 Highway. So I just would, you know, within a year's time, I think that something needs to be done. And that's all I'm going to voice on that.
Does any other council members have any other comments concerning the
I just want to ask, I think I heard Mr. Colbert say, did you talk with the donor about the plans? Did I hear you say that, Mr. Colbert?
Yes, I did speak to Ms. Mullins, not in terms of the time frame, but I did speak with her in terms of alternatives. I spoke with her in terms of a nonprofit organization sort of having oversight over the dog park, and that it be fee-based by that nonprofit, and that land could be identified, and I believe in that way they would have more freedom to develop the park the way they would want to. But right now, in terms of the city's priorities and finances, I can't speak to all of them, but just in terms of the park, I would like to say that I don't think we are prepared to do it at this time.
I got you. Thank you.
And Mr. Colbert, what was Ms. Mullins' response to that information you shared with her?
Well, she said that, two things. She said, if I'm not around, I will leave something, but this is sensitive, in my will for it to be done. And she said that if more money was needed, she would need to know that too, and she would perform that accordingly within her personals.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Council members, does anyone else have any comments to make concerning the dog park update? It's my suggestion that we, this is a very sensitive issue, and the city of Fairburn is still holding a check. And at some point, we're either going to have to return the check to her because it's going to be date stale, or make a decision on which way we're going. I think we've had this check now well over, 6-8 months? We have it here in the safe here in the city, in City Hall, but we're going to have to make some decision. So, Mr. Colbert, I would suggest that I know you've done your research as far as looking for a private lot or private investors to help us. Mr. Stokes, I think you gave us a suggestion on something that Peachtree City did with their dog park. They went private. So that park is totally handled by private investors. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How many does Peachtree City have?
Parks?
Dog parks.
We have one park. It's designed for large and smaller dogs.
Okay. Mr. Colbert, have you gotten with Tarika and Lester? Because I have not had a meeting with you all yet concerning the master plan. So we can look at it and see what we can possibly do there that's not going to interfere with that plan for the park in the future?
No, ma'am, but I will get with her. I plan on bringing that up when we talk about the comp plan.
Okay. So it's going to be my suggestion that within the next couple of weeks that we sit down and we have a meeting. with Tarika concerning the master plan. And we also need to put Lester and Harvey in that meeting too. If we can look at private investors, we know anyone, tag on to Petrie City, we can. But at some point, very soon, we're going to have to make some kind of decision, either to return the funds to her or figure out what we're going to do to honor her in some way with a doll park or something in Duncan Park, if we can do something at a later date. But, you know, I don't want to deposit a check when we don't know which way we're going.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so can we agree to set up a meeting in the next week or so and try to figure out a master plan and do some further research so we can come back with council with something concrete so that they can make a decision on what we're going to do with this funding?
Yes, and ma'am.
More money, then we need to talk to her about additional funding now.
Yes, ma'am. We'll schedule that meeting, Mayor.
Okay. Does any other council members have any other comments or suggestions regarding the update on the dog park? Okay, we're going to go to the next item on the agenda, and that's going to be item number two. Ms. Peaks, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here, Mayor.
The next agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve the execution of the sub-grant agreement with Atlanta Regional Commission for the Livable Centers Initiative Fairburn Downtown Master Plan in the amount of $25,000.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
On February 28, 2020, the Planning and Zoning Office submitted a grant application to the Atlanta Regional Commission's Livable Centers Initiative 2020 call for planning studies. The application to ARC requested assistance with performing a major update to the downtown master plan. The downtown master plan will provide a blueprint for creating a vibrant, walkable, economically thriving downtown center. Specifically, the downtown master plan will help address the following needs in downtown: an increase in residential density, additional parking, improved curb appeal, and cohesive architectural building style and character, including consistent signage style, redevelopment of key areas in downtown, such as Hudson Plaza, and a clearly defined vision, goals, objectives, and implementation strategies. On May 15th of 2020, ARC announced that they had awarded $1.4 million in LCI grants to fund planning studies in 10 metro Atlanta communities, and the city of Fairburn was one of the 10 applications selected. Tonight, staff is requesting for Mayor and Council to approve the execution of the sub-grant agreement with the Atlanta Regional Commission for the LCI Downtown Master Plan. The total budget of the master plan is $125,000. The grant is 80% reimbursable by ARC, therefore the city's financial obligation is $25,000. The $125,000 has been included in the 2020-21 budget in the Fund 250 grant line allocation. And again, staff is asking for approval for the execution of the sub-grant agreement with ARC for the LCI Downtown Master Plan.
Okay, Council, you have before you the for Mayor and Council to approve the execution of the sub-grant agreement with ARC and Livable Communities in the amount of $25,000. Before we vote on this, is there any comments from Council?
Yes, Mayor.
This is Councilwoman Davis Jones.
Okay, Councilwoman Portis Jones first, and then Councilwoman Linda Davis.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Congratulations, Ms. Peaks, on receiving the award. That is just super, super fantastic. My question to you, though, is as we are developing in the various areas, are we taking into consideration broadband needs? And if so, is that included in this, or is that additional, or how do we get that incorporated?
actually, the broadband concept has just been added to the comprehensive plan as of last year. So broadband should be and will be addressed in the five-year update. We haven't actually gotten to that part yet in the process with the Atlanta Regional Commission. I brought it up in our last steering committee meeting and brought that to their attention that we need to include that component, which is actually required by DCA that we include that component. So it should be addressed in the five-year update to the comprehensive plan, but also during this downtown master plan, that's something that we can also include in this plan.
All right, so just to ensure that that is indeed considered, we include language regarding broadband, and how does this master plan tie into the five-year comprehensive plan?
Well, the comprehensive plan is a 2035, which is a 20-year outlook as far as where the city goes in growth and development. And in the comprehensive plan, we have a character area, which is the town center mixed use, where we address the development of downtown over that 20-year period from 2015 when it was adopted up until 2035. So basically all of these documents should be consistent and be coherent with each other. And so those are one of the things that we will be again tackling in the five-year update is the broadband. And so the 2035 comprehensive plan and this downtown master plan again should be consistent. And that's one of the things that we put in the RFP, the various plans and studies that we have that the consultant would be using to actually create the downtown master plan. So they all should be consistent and speak the same language.
Okay, so that will be included then in the agreement with ARC on the downtown master plan?
Yes, it'll actually be in agreement with the consultant.
The consultant, okay. Yes. To evaluate the need for and placement of broadband and whatever yes. else needs to be included. Okay, thank you so much.
Can I add this last bit? The RFP has already been put out. It was put out, published on, I think, August the 5th, and it closed on September the 1st. So those items will be included in that and will be discussed with the consultant once they're selected.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Councilwoman Davis?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, I also would like to congratulate Ms. Peaks and her department in getting this outstanding, fantastic, well-needed for the City of Fairburn award from ARC. It is really outstanding, and congratulations on all of your work and your department's work in submitting for this award. But I do see in your comments and looking at the sub-grant agreement that there's a discrepancy in reference to the completion date. You're saying that you're scheduled to begin on November 1st, 2020, with a completion date by December 1, 2021. And in the sub-grant agreement number 3, it talks about time of performance, and it is stating that in reference to attachment A, that all work and services required shall be completed on or before October 31st, 21. Yes. And in attachment B, it states that, you know, that you're on a deliverable type of timeline. So mm-hmm. I think that completion date really need to be in sync.
You done out answer that question. Actually, the number 3 on the first page, time of performance, that October 31st, 2021, that's uh-huh. actually will be corrected and revised to reflect December 1st of 2021. I got an email today from ARC because I had a question about that, because the dates that they gave us on our LCI kickoff call and what's in the contract was actually different. So he said, this was recycled and changed. So he will send me out a new contract in the morning with the December 1st, 2021 date. So thank you for bringing that up. I was actually going to bring that up and it slipped my mind. So yes, the date will change to December 1st, 2021.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Are there any more comments concerning item number two? May I have a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Motion made
Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Jones, Hattie Portis Jones, and seconded by Councilwoman Linda Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item on the agenda is Mr. Lester Thompson, Community Development, for Mayor and Council to approve the Malone Street curb and gutter installation and project contract award in the amount of $41,800.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Purpose of this agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve the Malone Street curb and gutter installation project contract award to Construction 57 Incorporated. The budget impact will be $41,800. The project expenditures will come out of the general fund street account expenditure line item for sidewalk, street replacement, and curb and gutter. The invitation for bids were sent out on August the 5th, 2020. Five bids were received. After completion of the bid evaluation, it was determined that Construction 57 was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a bid price of $41,800. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the contract award to Construction 57 Incorporated at a bid price of $41,800. Any questions?
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Thompson? Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved, Mayor Pro Tem. Well, second, Mayor Pro Tem Small within.
Is that motion made by Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
A motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Yes. Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Mr. Heath. Alex Heath. Councilman Heath. He's gone for a second. We'll come back to him. Councilman Heath.
Yes, ma'am.
This is that issue that we've been talking about for the last couple of months.
Thank you so much. By the way, Mayor, for some reason or another, I've muted myself when we were in between things, and then I can't unmute myself. So that's where I was at.
Okay.
I'm unmuting myself.
So your vote is yes?
Yes.
Okay. So that's 6-0. Okay, the next item on the agenda is item number four for Mayor and Council to approve the change order for the Howell Avenue Extension Project in the amount of $5,850. Mr. Lester Thompson.
Yes, ma'am. The purpose of this agenda item is to approve the proposed change order for the Howell Avenue Extension Project. The budget impact will be $5,850. Project expenditures will come out of the T-SPLOS infrastructure roadway account. During construction, drainage concerns were discovered in the field by the contractor related to parcels 5 and 6 of the Howell Avenue Extension Project. To address the concerns, the contractor has proposed remediation efforts that include installation of catch basins, an area drain, and associated activities. The impacts to property owners such as these are typically taken care of doing what we call the cost of cure process. However, in this case, remedies were captured during the project design and ultimately in the construction contract. In doing so, even with the approval of this proposed change order, the city of Fairburn will save over $43,000 of what would have been paid to the owner outright based on the original cost to cure value. As such, staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve the proposed change order for the Howell Avenue Extension Project for the quoted price of $5,850. Any questions?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Mr. Thompson. Congratulations on the huge savings. That's fantastic. Could you just describe again what's the mitigation or what was the problem that was discovered and what's the remedy?
It was some drainage concerns. The drainage was sloping back into the property. It was going to flood the building. So in order to curb that, they want to install some catch basins and an inlet there to divert the water away from the property owner.
Okay. And where is it going? Is it going in a creek or an alleyway, or so that we don't have any issues with the neighbor?
No, it's going to a catch basin on the roadway project itself.
Railway. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Thompson concerning item number 4? Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Motion made by Councilman Heath to approve. Is there a second?
Second. Councilwoman Davis.
Second by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries 6-0.
Thank you
so much. Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
Before we get to council comments for tonight, is Kalanis Johnson, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Would you give us a quick update concerning the next COVID-19 testing here in the city of Fairburn?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening. I'm Honorable Mayor, fellow council members. We have coordinated in the past with the Fulton County Board of Health. We had a COVID-19 testing on the 20th of August, and it was fairly successful. We were able to get approximately 240 residents tested. And this was a one-stop shop, unlike the one we did back in July, where Board of Health, they did actual appointments in advance. And so much smoother process, very efficient. They enjoyed it. They liked the facility. They liked everything we had laid out for them. So they mentioned the possibility of doing further testing. And as Mr. Colbert mentioned earlier, you know, we are pretty high with some of our infection rates. And so we decided to do two more testing events, and they will be September the 4th, which is next Friday, as well as September the 10th, which is that following Thursday. It will take place at the Fairburn Education Campus, 320 Northwest Broad Street, and it will be from 8 o'clock to 2:30. And as I mentioned, they are asking for appointments, to make appointments in advance, and they're going to stop intake. The last appointments will be taken at 2 p.m. Again, it went very smooth last time, and we're going to do it again. And who knows? Obviously, if after the 10th, we may look at doing more, and that's something I'll obviously check with the mayor and leadership to see if you all are interested in continuing to do this as we get deeper into the fall. Are there any questions?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, Councilwoman Jones.
Yes, my question has to do with the turnaround for results of the testing. Has that, the notification of the results, had the number of days decreased?
That's a great question, ma'am. That was another reason why I think we are doing better by coordinating with the Fulton Board of Health. It's 3 to 5 business days. I personally got tested again. So it was on a Friday, and I got my results back Monday afternoon. And we haven't had any reports, any residents calling to the city inquiring about their results. So apparently this went a lot smoother. Unfortunately, the one in July, that we didn't have this that success. But 3 to 5 days, and again, haven't been any complaints from the most recent one we had. So I think we should continue to coordinate with the Fulton Board of Health.
Okay, and then my second question, probably the mayor needs to answer this, and that is, is there a routine schedule for employees, or are they testing when they decide they need to test, or is there any mandatory testing on our part?
There's no mandatory testing on our part. Employees test when they feel the need to be tested.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. Would also like to add to this that Fulton County Board of Health also has a testing site that is turning around those tests within 2 days. And it's out at the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. I can get that information to you. I just found out about it this morning. I got a call about it. It was supposed to end on August 26th, but it's my understanding that they're going to extend it to September the 11th as of now. So that is another testing site, Fulton County Board of Health, and it's my understanding within 48 hours, those test results are coming back. With that being said, we'll go to council comments for tonight, and we'll start with Councilwoman Linda Davis.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I have no comments tonight.
Okay. Councilman Pat Palin?
No comments.
Councilman Alex Heath?
No comment.
Councilwoman Patty Portis Jones?
No comments.
Councilman James Whitmore?
Yes, Mayor. My colleague alluded to this a little earlier, so I figured I'll use my closing comments to address it. On the last council meeting, August 10th, 2020, my colleague made reference to my comments and reference to the text amendment for safeguard. So I would like to say for the record, while all elected officials may be lobbied by companies, there was no difference in what I did to correct the record based upon an email received by that company. I did nothing wrong. One second, let me get out of here. I did nothing wrong, and I had no obligation to disclose any information to council. However, as a courtesy, I did, and I did that for the record. Again, to my colleagues, I do apologize for the way the information was received by some, but my integrity is intact. Hopefully in the future, such tone will not be displayed towards myself or any other elected official. I think that we know what the politics 101 is, and by the tone that was delivered, it was not appreciated. And hopefully moving forward, we will not have that tone displayed in any of our council meetings. And with that, Mayor, I close my comments.
Oh,
just one other thing, Mayor. I did have a legal opinion provided by our attorneys. And in that legal opinion, it did state that there was no wrongdoing. And it also stated that as an elected official, as we all have been courted or called by various people for various things, and the one thing that I have been consistent with since I have been an elected official is I always went back to staff to ask what was going on and then directed the applicant, for whatever the reason, to follow up with staff and follow their recommendations. And with that, Mayor, I do close.
Thank you, Councilman Whitmore. And last but not least is the Mayor Pro Tem, Ulysses Smallwood.
I don't have anything this evening, just good evening. Thank you everybody for coming out. Well, tuning in, I should say.
For tuning in, great. I have one announcement to make, and it's very, very good news. The city of Fairburn, and Tarika, you still on? Ms. Pitts, yes. Are you still on? Okay. Okay, unmute yourself so you can chime in. The city of Fairburn has been awarded two CDBG grants, one in the amount of $200,000. And that grant is going to go for us to renovate the Fairburn Annex for COVID testing, education, and also for us to acquire property to handle the overflow parking at the annex if we need to. So that's a $200,000 grant. We're going to accept the grant on tomorrow, and probably within the next 4 to 5 weeks, we should have that check in. We have another $50,000 COVID grant that's coming from the Department of Fulton County Department of Community Development. And that $50,000 is for the city of Fairburn to purchase PPE equipment for first responders. Also provide park improvements and purchase COVID prevention toolkits for Fulton County Public School students and to provide food for our seniors. That's another $50,000. So Tarika, did you want to piggyback on any of that? We're very happy to be receiving a $250,000 grant from Fulton County for CDBG.
Only thing I'll add, man, I think you summed it all up, but the only thing I will add, I think we have a great team between Lester, myself, Sylvia Abernathy's, the Main Street Manager, and Kalanis Johnson, the Economic Development Manager. We put together that grant application in a very short notice, and so to hear that we was awarded is great. And actually, Lester Thompson is the CDBG master. He basically handles and manages all of the city's CDBG funds and CDB projects. So kudos to Lester, Sylvia Abernathy, and Kalanis Johnson, because we all rallied together to get that application submitted to Fulton County in a short time frame. And so I just say kudos to my colleagues.
Thank you. Everyone who participated in the writing of this grant, you're correct. I think we did this grant in less than a week.
Yes.
Yes, we did. And to get $250,000 is great. So thank you all. Thank you, staff, so much. And with that, there's no
Mayor. This is Councilwoman Davis. I'm sorry. Yes, I wanted to ask you a question. Speaking of Fulton County, I think I read something in Commissioner's Karn's report that we're getting, that Fulton County is getting up off some money, and we're getting some money in about 400 and some odd thousand dollars. I don't know, I could be off. I'm just going from memory. Is that true?
Yeah, that's Fulton County commissioners had a meeting on last week, and it's about $15 million that's going to be distributed between the cities. And right now it looks like our share is going to be roughly about 400 and some thousand dollars.
Great.
Yes. And we'll see, you know, wait until the check gets in the hands before we start jumping up, Councilwoman Davis.
Yeah. It's good news though.
Yes. But I just want to make sure, did everybody receive that email from Commissioner Carnes?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay.
Yes, good. Mayor.
Okay, good.
Mayor, I have one question regarding budgets.
Yes.
I just wanted to confirm the schedule. I didn't see the notice in the paper regarding the public hearing for budget. So I just need to confirm the schedule.
You'll need to get with the city clerk on tomorrow. I don't have the schedule before me, but I know the city clerk will be putting an ad on tomorrow that's going to run for next week, I believe. Is that right, Erica?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay, so we will be finalizing the ad on tomorrow.
Okay.
Run on September 3rd.
It'll run on September 3rd for notice, which date, the public hearing date?
September the 14th.
September 4th. Okay. All right. Thank you. And then just one other question regarding budget, Mayor, and that is I also saw in the paper regarding the delay in getting the tax digest and that will impact our ability to develop our millage. Do you anticipate?
Uh-huh. Well, we're working on that right now. The first thing I did this morning was get with my tax guy, Mr. Rose, and he's trying to get some information from Fulton County. The information that's been put out there is kind of mumbo jumbo. Nobody is knowing anything. And so nothing is concrete right now. And so he was supposed to get some calls back this afternoon, because we have to make a decision on that millage, and we're waiting to see what Fulton County is going to do. Right now, they cannot give us a concrete answer, even though word got out that it is going to be delayed. But they're telling us right now they don't know. So I don't have a definitive answer for you until we get something from Fulton County. Hopefully it's going to be sometime tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. With that, there's no executive session on tonight. May I have Mr. Turner, did you have anything you wanted to say to council tonight?
No, I'm fine. I thank you so much. And I'm sort of horrified to be standing here wearing a polo shirt on your city council meeting tonight. But and you all saw our email. We're in the middle of a move or an office, and it looks like things are proceeding pretty well. And I appreciate everyone's patience with us as we work through all this all these details. I'm sitting at a card table right now in my office. I hope you all have a great night. Thank you.
Okay.
Get some rest. I'm sorry.
That's okay. With that being said, may I have a motion on the floor to adjourn, please?
No move, Councilman Heath.
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion to adjourn made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. We are now adjourned. Everybody have a safe week.
Good night.
Have a good night.